Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Well, hello, Army families. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us today. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff, and this is show number 639. Today is President's Day, Monday, February 19th, 2018.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. We have a great show planned for you tonight. Our featured guest tonight is Marna Ashburn, author of Marriage During Deployment, a memoir of a military marriage. Marriage During Deployment is a meditation on marriage, relationships, and identity, prompting the reader to question whether the couple can survive the life-changing year of deployment. You can connect with Marna through her various websites, householdbaggage.com, which is where she writes or where she puts all of her publications, chroniclesofmarna.com, a blog about moments of meaning on the journey of life, thehangingindent.com, a website about language and culture.
I love those website names. I read the Chronicles of Narnia, and so I love Chronicles
right.
of Narnia. That's so cool. Well, if you're listening to our show live, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. We'd love to hear from you. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. We're also adding all the links mentioned in the show this evening in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020.
Well, Lisa, have you been able to catch any of the Winter Olympics coverage on TV?
Oh, yes. We've been watching quite faithfully. We've just been watching the prime time, you know, in the evenings on the TV. But yeah, we've been having so much fun. Last year we weren't able to, because I don't remember why, or not last year, but last time. And so this year it's just been a lot of fun. We've been, sitting as a family really, and spending quite a bit of time watching them.
Yeah, it's been neat. My youngest kids are older now, and my son and my husband are both into sports, and so it's been so much fun watching it this time. It seems like we're more into it this time than we were, what is it, 4 years ago? How often? That's how little I know.
I know.
About
yeah, four years.
Yeah, 4 years ago. And so do you have a favorite competition or, you know, part like?
Well, I always enjoy ice skating, especially ice dancing. That's probably one of my favorites. But this year, I'm a huge Shaun White fan, and so I was really, really anxious to see the snowboarding events. So that
was what I was watching for. You know, I don't think I had paid too much attention to snowboarding before this year, and my son, who likes skateboarding, was particularly interested in snowboarding and wow, that looks so much like skateboarding. And so it's really interesting to watch. I mean, how agile they are and the, I mean, they go way up in the air and do all these tricks. And it's really amazing to watch that.
Yeah.
So, and Shaun White has been a rock star.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I love the ice skating and I think that's probably my favorite. The female ice skating and the couples ice skating are my favorites.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know if the time of day, if it's different for us here, which makes it a little easier for us to watch. I don't know if it's different in Hawaii than it is on the mainland, but it just seems like we've been able to catch it. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of special events, last week was Valentine's Day. So I'm curious as to what you guys did or how your Valentine's Day went.
Oh, it was great. My husband got flowers, you know, and we don't do or bought me flowers. I didn't get him flowers. He got candy and a t-shirt and a movie. We're not big into celebrating those holidays so much. So this year it was neat because he surprised me with flowers. We usually just exchange cards and a small gift. And then he also bought flowers for my daughter, who is now a teenager. And so that was neat. I mean, he got something special, but it was a sports jersey for my son. But it was just neat that he thought, oh, she's a teenager this year. So he did something sweet for her, too. And she loved getting flowers. And so that was awesome. How about you?
Oh, that's great. We we did really nothing. In years past, we've either tried to go out to dinner or done a special dinner at home. And usually my husband will get chocolates for me. We tend to stay away from flowers too much because we have a cat who likes to eat them. And so if I do get flowers, I have to set them way up on a bookshelf or something so she can't get to them. So we tend to kind of stay away from gifts of flowers. But chocolate is usually a pretty safe bet for a gift. This year, though, it was just timing and stuff that was going on. We ended up going out, like, on a totally different day and stuff. But it was still nice.
Oh, how neat. Well, that's nice. I mean, sometimes low-key is nice or better than, you know, some big event. You know, but I'm all for peaceful and low-key. So that works for me.
Yeah.
So... I hear now, are you all up to PCS anytime soon, or will you be staying put in Washington?
We will, yeah, we're at JBLM, and we are going to be staying here. We're in kind of a unique position. We're not on regular orders, and so it's not like we do the every 2.5 to 3 year thing. Because my husband is a reservist and he's activated for certain periods of time and that kind of thing. So the position that he's in now it's just a year at a time. And he has to sort of like put in his name every year, you know, and they've already told him that, you know, they want him to stay. So it's just a matter of the T's crossed and I's dotted and all that stuff to get that put through. And so we will be staying this year. It took them a while to get everything processed. And so there was a little bit of time where we were kind of wondering what was going on and if he'd have the job again. But he does, and that's all taken care of. So that was kind of a relief. But it is kind of strange to be the ones who stay because, you know, most other people are gearing up for PCS season coming fairly soon. And so
I'm just hearing of so many people who are leaving, you know, friends of mine. And it's hard to think about some of these people being gone fairly soon. So, and I know if we end up staying for a while, it's going to be that way, you know, every year as people move in and out in the normal PCS cycle.
True. Yeah, there seems to be two, or I've noticed two PCS seasons, like we call it, the winter and the summer rotation. And so, with, you know, obviously summer being a bigger exodus, but, or, well, yeah. I guess they come in as well, but it's hard when, or at least for me, it's hard when I'm the one that's staying put. Because, and they're leaving me because I feel abandoned.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah. I can handle the leaving part better when it's me, because then I feel like, you know, my mind is focused on, okay, the next steps. And
yeah.
So I'm like, you know, in that tunnel vision of next steps. But when
yeah.
they leave me, it's harder on me emotionally, I think. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true.
Well, hey, I know we're over time just a little bit, but I want to give you a chance really quick to talk about what's new on AWN, because it's kind of exciting.
Yes, we are starting a new series. It's called AWN Table Talk. It's a panel of three ladies, myself, Tracy Hargis, and Wendy Bayard Packard, and we're all just military spouses who have been around the block for a while, different perspectives though, and we answer your questions, you know, questions that those who tune in and watch us ask while we're live on Facebook. We go live on Facebook every other Friday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. That makes it 9:30 in the morning in Hawaii. So that's why it's that time of day. But it's been great. We've had great feedback. We also usually ask for questions ahead of time. That way we have, you know, if somebody can't tune in and they have to watch it later, we certainly understand that. So you can write in and ask your questions ahead of time and send questions to info@armywifenetwork.com or look for the posts or the event that I post in Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and comment there and ask your questions. We have a topic. Our current topic is deployment and reintegration. Last week, we talked about pre-deployment, so focusing more on gearing ourselves and our kids up for our spouses to deploy. And then next time we'll discuss deployment itself when you're smack dab in the middle of it, and that'll be March 2nd.
Okay.
And then after that, we have a special guest that'll be on. She'll be joining the panel with us, and she's a dual. She's a dual military couple. She's a spouse, and she's also currently serving active duty in the military. And she'll give us kind of our or her perspective on what not only what you know we kind of see it from our side as a spouse, but what's it like for the soldier while they're deployed and separated. And so I thought it would be neat to hear it from that aspect. So we're excited about it. And so if you want to check it out, head over to Facebook.com, our Facebook page at Army Wife Network. And we have the videos there, or you can find us on YouTube and let us know what you think. So it's been a lot of fun. And then also, you know, like you had mentioned, Lisa, this past week was Valentine's Day. And so our blog has been hopping with some fantastic posts about Valentine's Day. There's been several written in the spirit of Valentine's Day this past week. For instance, Valentine's Day this year, AWN blogger Sarah Ann wanted to do something special for her husband because they've spent so many Valentine's days apart, which is something we all understand as spouses. So in her latest post on the AWN blog, she goes back to the beginning of their relationship and shares their love story. So read Sarah Ann's love story by going to armywifenetwork.com and look for her blog post with a super cool title, Love Among the Mortars. Well, Lisa, do you mind if I ask how you and your husband met?
No, not at all. We actually met in Colorado at Colorado Christian University, where we both ended up for college. It's not a super exciting story like yours, because I know yours is really cool.
I think that's great that you met at college.
Yeah, and it was through, I had some friends, and my sister actually knew him before I did, which was kind of funny. I met him through just doing stuff as a group with people on campus. And what is funny about our story is that I didn't exactly like him at first. It took me a while to kind of warm up.
Oh, that's funny.
But then I was pretty convinced fairly quickly after that he was the one that I was meant to be with. And it took him a little longer to figure that out, but yeah.
That's so sweet. Now, did your sister tell you about him before? I mean, did she kind of help guide that relationship along, or?
No, she had mentioned him in passing probably, but it wasn't something where she, you have to meet this guy type of thing. But yeah, it was it's kind of funny, but we laughed about the fact that, I didn't exactly like him right away.
Well, that's neat. But, I think that's neat because I think if you fall for, not saying that if you do fall for someone, love at first sight, that's doomed. But, you kind of think through, especially if you're like me and I'm more analytical and I think through all the mm-hmm. pros and cons and before I give my heart away. So that's kind of how I do things. So
yeah,
I think that's, and how long have you been married now?
We will hit our 25th, not this year, but next year. So we're getting close.
Super exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So a marriage made to last. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, I also heard that Angie Andrews, who is another one of our fantastic blog contributors, also had a great post this week focusing on relationship building.
Yes, she did. In this popular post on the Army Wife Network blog, Angie Andrews talks about the importance of communication in relationships and shares what she has dubbed her Project Discover notebooks. Angie created these notebooks as a way to stay connected with her spouse during a deployment. Through a series of get-to-know-you type questions and answers, they discovered brand new things to talk about. You can read Angie's blog, Open Up, Get to Know Your Spouse Through Q&A, over on armywifenetwork.com. And just as a reminder, links to everything that we're talking about tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. So, Crystal, in light of that post, how do you and your husband stay connected during times of separation?
Well, the usual, phone calls and text, but we also have this special thing that we do that was started because we actually spent a lot of our early relationship and then our early marriage separated because we geobatched during that time right after we got married until he went to his next duty station because it was just kind of so close together. We decided not to combine households quite yet. So we share love songs from YouTube. So it's usually 80s or 70s for him because he likes 70s love songs and stuff. So we usually will share, you know, he'll find, he's really romantic in that way, and will send me a love song. If he's thinking of me, he'll find something that kind of matches that sentiment for the day. And
That is so great.
You know? So it's a tradition we started way back when we were dating. Actually, should say he started, and we just continued that. How about you?
Usually it's just texts and phone calls. Although we did actually write letters and back and forth while he was deployed one time. So that was really neat.
Did you keep them?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be just something legacy to pass on to your kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
How sweet. Well, it's time now for a short commercial break. Up next is our New Six Charlotte bringing us your need to know news. So stay tuned. We'll be right.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 Report.
Welcome back to the show. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line, bringing us your need to know news. Hey, Charlotte, what have you got for us this week?
Hi, Crystal and Lisa. Unfortunately, flu season is upon us. This week I'll be sharing some tips on how to rid your home of the flu virus. As many of us have experienced firsthand this winter, the flu virus can spread throughout the home quickly. When someone in your home is sick, or if a visitor is, he or she can leave cold and flu germs and viruses that stay on the surfaces for days, continuing a cycle of illness. This year's virus has been harsher than in years past, so it is critical that you take precautions to keep your family safe. Germs live on surfaces and spread to humans through skin contact. Anything we frequently touch is a threat. The flu virus can actually live on surfaces for up to 48 hours. How often you need to disinfect in your home really depends on the area or surface and how frequently it comes in contact with the bacteria. But before you start spraying bleach on everything in your house, relax. Simply being consistent about cleaning key items can help you contain the viruses and bacteria.
Well, Charlotte, I know a lot of people, myself included, prefer to use environmentally friendly green cleaning products. But to help kill cold and flu germs, is it best to clean with bleach or Lysol?
Great question, Lisa. Green cleaners are better for the environment and are proven to work effectively. However, they do come with some trade-offs. They are more expensive and require more elbow grease to achieve the same results as the chemical-based cleaners. The only conventional cleansers that green products cannot match are those that contain chlorine, such as bleach.
Well, Charlotte, what are some other tips that we can use to help stop the spread of the virus?
Well, Crystal, make sure everyone in the house is washing his or her hands with soap or hand sanitizer frequently, especially after contact with a sick person. In order to kill off cold and flu germs, you need to spend 20 seconds scrubbing your hands with soap and water. Have your kids sing their ABCs for their 20 seconds of hand washing. It doesn't really matter if it's a solid soap bar, liquid soap, or hand sanitizer. Using paper towels for drying hands or dedicate a separate hand towel to each person in the house. Wipe down surfaces in your home daily with a household disinfectant or disinfectant wipes. Clean the sick person's eating utensils, clothing, bedding, and any other personal items with soap or detergent before anyone else in the house can use them. These items don't need to be washed separately from those of non-infected people.
So do we need to deep clean frequently, or are there more specific areas we should focus on to keep the spread of germs to a minimum?
Well, general basic cleaning will help keep the germs at bay as long as you're consistent with your efforts. Your kitchen sink contains 100,000 times more germs than your toilet. Food, which can include dangerous organisms like salmonella and E. coli, often get trapped in your sink or drain. One tablespoon of bleach mixed with a quart of water can be used to clean your sink, faucet, and basin up to twice a week. When you're done, pour the solution down the drain to clean inside. Also, sponges harbor lots of germs. You should rid them of bacteria every 3 to 5 days by either running them through a full cycle of the dishwasher or microwaving them on high for 1 minute. Just keep in mind it needs to be wet when you nuke it. Swap out your dish towels daily. Bacteria can thrive in the damp, densely woven material, which has lots of nooks and crannies for them to hide in. Be sure to wash all of your towels in hot water. Bathrooms are also incredibly germ-infested. Bacteria feed on skin cells that slough off each time you use a towel to dry off. So just as with the kitchen dish towels, wash your towels daily, use hot water. Personal hygiene items such as toothbrushes should be kept in a drawer. Also, if you've been sick, replace your toothbrush. Germs linger in the bristles.
Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking with Marna Ashburn about her latest book, Marriage During Deployment, A Memoir of a Military Marriage. We'll be right back.
Wayne Brady for the Will Rogers Institute.
Hey, folks, I've got something that will truly revolutionize your life. It's called exercise. It will get you from here to there, allow you to spend time with your family and meet new people, cut inches from your waistline, and improve the quality of your life, even help improve your self-image.
Sexy.
So when you've got to choose between moving around or lying on the couch, choose exercise. You won't be sorry.
For your free booklet, visit wrinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
A product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehaus.
And I'm your co-host, Lisa Walters. Tonight, we have with us Marna Ashburn. Marna grew up in an Air Force family, served 5 years in the U.S. Army as a helicopter pilot after college, and then was a military wife for 20 years. Marna is the author of many books and articles on military life and military families, including Marriage During Deployment, A Memoir of a Military Marriage, Household Baggage, The Moving Life of a Military Wife, Household Baggage Handlers, 56 stories from the hearts and lives of the military wives, and 64 easy answers about etiquette for the modern military spouse.
Marna was a regular columnist for Military Spouse magazine. She's had articles and essays featured in publications such as Off Duty, Married to the Military, Military Times, SO Rhode Island, and the Providence Journal. Her books can be found at her website, householdbaggage.com, which also links to her blog, chroniclesofmarna.com. Marna has two grown children and lives in Virginia. Welcome to the show, Marna.
Thank you very much. Hi, Crystal. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me tonight.
We're so glad you could join us. Well, to start off, Marna, would you tell us where you're calling from this evening and a little about yourself?
Okay, I'm calling from Virginia, from Williamsburg, Virginia, where I moved a couple of years ago. And like you mentioned, I'm a former Army helicopter pilot. I was in the Army from 85 to 90, and then I was Army spouse for 20 years. Now I have, I'm mom to two grown kids, a boy and a girl, and I'm still writing, still doing all the writing I possibly can.
So I have to ask, are your kids anywhere near you?
No, they are both in Rhode Island. We had an unusual situation. My husband had a ROTC tour in Rhode Island, so he was there 4 years. Then he went to Afghanistan for a year, and then he came back to Rhode Island and taught at the Naval War College. So my kids had 9 years in one place. That's unbelievable for Army kids. So they went through, you know, elementary school and middle school in one place. My daughter even went through high school. So they think of themselves as New England children. They're Rhode Islanders. That's where they both returned after finishing college.
Okay. All right.
But I had too much snow. So I was ready for the southern climate. That's why I moved.
Well, Marna, you recently published your latest book, Marriage During Deployment, A Memoir of a Military Marriage. Can you tell us more about what it's about and why you wrote it?
Yeah, sure. It's about our family during the dad's year-long deployment to Afghanistan in 2006-2007. And the book kind of brings the reader along on our one-year journey, how we managed it, how we coped, what challenges we faced, and what changes we experienced as a couple and as a family. Ever since 9/11 happened years ago, it was about 17 years ago, thousands and thousands of military families have experienced deployment. But I don't think that your average American really understands or appreciates what a military family goes through during that year of deployment. I mean, I think they just see the happy reunions on YouTube and don't realize the 12 months that precedes that and what it's like for a family to go through that. And even though deployment is a term in our American vocabulary right now, I feel like families who aren't associated with the military really don't understand what it's like to go through an entire year apart. So that's one of the reasons I wrote it, to show the reader what it's like to pull back the curtains on a military family and let them see for themselves what goes on during that year of deployment.
Oh, that's so true. Marna, what did you hope to accomplish through writing your memoir, and what has the response to your books been so far?
Well, I think anybody who's gone through deployment knows that some seismic shifts occur in family dynamics, in the marriage, in the couple. And part of my motivation for writing this book was to share what I learned And my understandings about these shifts, and to impart what I learned to people who are going through it as well, and to help them understand these shifts that have taken place, and how to learn and grow from them. I also, I really wanted to start a meaningful dialogue about some of the things that happen during deployment. And it's a difficult conversation. It's very difficult to talk about. And it's not, my book is not all sunshine and rainbows and flag waving. It's nitty gritty stuff. And some parts aren't so pretty. Some of the vignettes are kind of difficult and disturbing. But to me, it's for the conversation to be useful, I feel like I have to be honest. And hopefully people will start talking and opening up and having an honest dialogue about what they've experienced as well and the difficulties. So my sense is, with all these years of war and deployment, there's a lot of wreckage out there, and not talking enough about it. And the key is to be talking about it and to be open about it. Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Right. You know, that is so true, and I appreciate how you open yourself up in the book and just share with total honesty, because I think, or at least when I married my husband, who was already in the military, coming from a small community, I had, with very little experience with military service members, I had kind of a glamorous view of military life, you know, and the homecomings are so romantic, you know, so because of that, how movies and sitcoms portrayed it, I felt like I wasn't prepared. And I think the openness, someone who's been there, really touches lives and helps spouses and families prepare for deployment and understand when they're in the thick of it and things, you know, Murphy's Law rears its ugly head and, you know, everything breaks and you really want to scream and, you know, all those emotions of the ups and downs that go with it, that my biggest takeaway is, yep, you're normal. We all have been there.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's going to be okay. So I appreciate how open you are.
Okay. Yeah, it's such comfort to know that others have been through what you're going through too, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And you learn from that. It's like sort of mentorship in a book. You know, I can look at that and say, okay, Marna's been there. She understands what I'm going through, and it's okay. I'm normal.
Yeah. You're going through it, and you will get through it. It will pass.
Well, Marna, would you be willing to share with us what may have been considered the hardest part of deployment?
Okay. Well, I thought that going through the holidays during the deployment was difficult. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and birthdays. You know, you have your family traditions, and then suddenly there's a big part missing. The dad is not there. And that's a big old man-sized hole that you have to deal with. I also thought that the relentlessness of the deployment was challenging. It's a year, and it's a year of being a single, you know, a solo parent, and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I realized that I had to take better care of myself if I was going to make it to the end of the year intact. You know, I really had to slow down. I had to lower my expectations of what I could accomplish. I had to take time to recharge consciously and intentionally. And believe me, it's my DNA is to be type A and just go, go, go. I think most military wives are like that. We're really high-functioning people, you know. So it was a was a major change for me to slow down and tell myself, no, you're not going to be able to do 10 things a day. You might get 3 things done, and that's okay. So,
good point.
That was it. And the third thing I saw was hard were summers, just to prepare yourself. When you have school children, and it's school year, you've got the schedule and the routine of getting up and going to school and after-school activities and sports and music lessons, what have you. The structure is very reassuring. And then summer hits, and it's a free-for-all. And if you're not prepared for it, it can really throw you for a loop during the deployment year. So I was momentarily at loose ends for a while when summer started, but when we finally got our summer routine going, it was much better. So I'd suggest people plan for that a little better than I did.
Oh, excellent points. And so true. You know, my husband has ran in a couple of marathons, and I love how you use that visual of it's a marathon and not a sprint. And he trained up for the marathons, you know, months in advance. And so I think as a family, if we, you know, just like the soldiers train up for their deployment, we should be preparing ourselves. You know, what are we going to do with our kids during the summer so that we still have kind of that comfort of a routine? And how are we going to handle things when they break? And who are we going to turn to if we're sick or the kids are sick and things like that? So
yeah.
That is a perfect way of putting that because, you know, and you don't, I'm type A too, so if you go into it full force right off, you get tired at the end. So if you kind of just take it easy, take care of yourself, and, you know, be in it for the long haul and just realize sometimes you got to slow down and let yourself rest and then and just
keep
trekking along. So anyway.
Pace yourself.
Exactly. That's perfect words. So. Is there any hope, you know, we talk about deployment being difficult. Were there any easy parts during your deployment, your process deployments?
Well, I found that it was easy for me to start and complete household projects while my husband was out of the country. Decorating projects and things like that. I like to say he's fairly allergic to home improvement, and he needs an EpiPen just to go to Lowe's. no matter what I say, you know, like, let's redo the mudroom, or let's add a breakfast bar, or let's take the fence down, he would say, no, it's fine. So while he was gone, I undertook some home improvement projects, and I didn't have to deal with his resistance. I just did them. And when he got home, they were done. Like, one of the things I did was I had a work crew tear out the driveway and replace it because it was a big sinkhole in the driveway. And it collected, and we was living in New England, snow and ice and rain. We would have a big frozen pond in our driveway. So my husband didn't want to fix it. So while he was gone, I fixed it. He was not very happy with me, but it was already done, so what do you do? So that was the easy part. I also did some landscaping while he was gone. It's just a lot easier to undertake these things when he wasn't there.
Yeah, have more time. Right.
Yeah, you have more time. More time.
Right.
Actually, you know, the time he was gone, I bought a car while he was gone. It was time. We needed a new car, so.
Yeah. Part of taking care of yourself and your kids while he's gone, so.
That's right.
Well, Marna, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the positive experiences that came out of this period of deployment for you and your family.
Okay.
Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guest by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. You can also find links to everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Wendy Bear Packard, and I'd like to take a minute of your day. As the new year begins, I hope you've taken a few moments to set a few new goals. Not resolutions, I find those hard to keep, but goals. Goals are different than resolutions. Goals are things you take one step forward and a few steps back, but you keep going. When we set goals as an Army spouse, we may have to reevaluate them because of an unexpected duty station change or deployment that derails our progress. We may have to extend the time we thought it would take to achieve the goal. I'd like to share a few tips that may help you in reaching your next goal. Start by writing them down. By writing them down is a constant reminder of how you're going to accomplish the next steps. Stop procrastinating. We make time for what's important to us, so make time to reach your next goal. Lastly, find help. Network and connect with others who can help you achieving the goal. As we begin the second month of the year, write down your goals, set a timeline for the next step, and find help in sticking with the plan. Remember, you can achieve great things if you set your mind on your goals. I am Wendy Bear Packard, and I hope this helps your day.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Marna Ashburn, author of Marriage During Deployment, a memoir of a military marriage. Before we went to break, Marna, you were sharing with us about some of the different aspects that you encountered during your husband's deployment. Were there any positive experiences that came out of the deployments?
Oh, sure. One of the most positive experiences in my life was the people in the community who reached out to us and helped the military family. We lived in southern Rhode Island, so it wasn't near a big divisional army post or anything. We were, among a very few military families in this community, and many of them had never known military families, particularly ones with somebody deployed. So their kindnesses to my family during that year were just so heartwarming. Whether it was the neighbor coming over to clean out my gutters so I wouldn't have to do it, or somebody else bringing me a covered dish for dinner, or somebody else inviting me out, for an evening break while her husband watched the kids. It was just, we had lots of invitations for Easter dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. It was so sweet and heartwarming to get that kind of caring response. And I wasn't sure we would get it because, when you're in a military community, we know how to take care of each other, but this was a civilian community, and they really did surprise me with their kindness. That was nice. The other thing that I noticed during that year is that the bond between my kids and me really grew and strengthened. We spent a lot of time together with each other, cooking dinner almost every night together and eating dinner. And every Sunday, I had a family day scheduled where we did something as a family. My son said, we usually go to some boring nature preserve and take a boring hike or something. that's what we did. But it was just my way of reconnecting with the kids, getting away from the TV, getting away from the electronics and the Game Boy and the Xbox and finding each other again. And we have spent so much time together. We've made so many lovely memories together. That it's a very strong bond, and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, Marna, what would you consider the most important lesson that you learned during the deployment? And then maybe what surprised you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would say the most important lesson was deployment is really a super opportunity to do a checkup on your life and on your relationship and on your marriage. Everything is heightened during a deployment. And you might be surprised at what comes to your attention, but it provides you with an opportunity to scrutinize things and find areas that you may not have been tending very well when you were dealing with day-to-day, life challenges. Areas that need attention and improvement will show up in spades during a deployment. And it's just a great time to turn your attention to them and say, how are we doing here? What are we not doing? What's not being acknowledged that we need to pay attention to that you may not have seen before? There's probably some life habits that are just not sustainable and ways of interacting that no longer work for you. That's what I found was the most important lesson, because it gives you, having the separation gives you the opportunity to have a different perspective that you didn't have before. And, wow, take advantage of it. It's very valuable. The biggest surprise, this is kind of cautionary tale, is I'm surprised at how we could have cyber arguments over email, and they could spool off into pretty intense little tiffs in our very limited time interacting, my husband and I, and we were wasting it arguing, and back and forth, and things are escalating very quickly, because you know how that's how it can be when you're communicating through a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I always felt so bad, so terrible. I was like, how could I have wasted any of our precious time arguing over this? It's just so silly. So at least try to have the foresight to stop that before it starts and just go, okay, this isn't us. This is me talking because I'm tired or I'm hungry or I've got too much on my mind. But let's just stop this right now, and let's not have a cyber argument. That would be my advice.
Excellent advice. Well, and how did your children, were they able to stay connected with your husband during the deployment, and how did they manage?
Yeah, we decided not to do video conferencing. This was back in 06. It wasn't quite as easy to do it back then, but the reason we didn't do it is because we felt like having that visual would tear down their coping mechanisms and make them realize how much they missed their dad. But they did email him almost every day. We had a notebook on the kitchen counter where they could write notes to him on the spur of the moment, and then every week or so I would tear off the paper from the notebook and mail it to him. We also kept, it's very handy too, and if there's something that you want to make sure you mention to him, it's right there on the kitchen counter. You write down, and next time you talk to him, you'll say, oh yeah, I wanted to say to you this and such. And we also kept locks in the Eden kitchen. We called it the dad box. And we would put things in there that we wanted to send to him, like, pictures or copies of report cards or something like that, newspaper clippings. we just kept filling it up, and every 2 or 3 weeks we would mail him a care package. So that I got them really involved in that, and they enjoyed participating in that. It was like he was right there in the house with us. It was the dad box.
Oh, I love that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The kids did really well. It wasn't their first rodeo. Their dad had been gone a lot during their lives, and they did great. But occasionally, hairline crack would open up, and I would see how much they missed him. Like, one time I was on the computer, and my daughter, who was 16, came in and said, "Can you come in and tuck me in tonight?" So I did, and she was just laying there. The 16-year-olds don't really ask you to tuck them in very often, so this is kind of unusual. And she was laying there in bed, kind of sleepy, and she started crying, and she said, I really miss Dad. So that was difficult. These are the difficult times. They really tear you up. I think she was just, tired and overwhelmed.
Yeah, and as moms, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to miss your husband, but it's hard to see your kids struggle with that too.
You are right.
And know that, as much as you try and, comfort and be there for them, there's nothing really that can take away that sadness.
No.
So that's the tough part. Yeah.
All you can do is just be there for them.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of switch a little bit and talk about the book itself. What was maybe hard for you about actually writing the book?
Well, I had designed this book to be 12 chapters, one per month. It was going to be chronological. And the editor of the publisher, the editorial board, said, "No, we don't want to do it chronologically. We want you to break it down by themes and just have one theme per chapter." So that kind of stopped me for a while. I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to go with that. And finally, the editor sent me a suggested list of themes, and I basically had to rewrite the whole book to meet the theme structure. But I think it made it a stronger book. Now, this isn't my journal. It's not raw pain stuff. I wanted to make sure that it had been processed so that it could be helpful. I wanted to, mine the truth of the year and write the stories so that the significance of the story was obvious to my reader. Sometimes it just, if it's, too personal, it doesn't pass the who cares test. This is nice and all, but how's this going to help me, the reader? So I had to make sure I found ways that the reader could relate to it, to find the universal in the personal. So that was a challenging part of it and difficult part of it.
Right. Was it difficult to be so personal and revealing in your writing?
It was. It was, yes. like I said, Prince Harry, I read an interview, he said he's been in counseling ever since his mother died, trying to get over that loss. And, of course, people were like, "Well, why are you admitting to that?" And he said, "If we want this conversation to be helpful, I got to make sure I'm being honest." And that's the way I felt as I was writing this. If I want it to be helpful, I have to make sure I'm being honest and truthful. And I didn't want to pull any punches. But I also, I owned the parts that I needed to own, my frailties and my shortcomings. I'm honest about that too. So, yeah, but it was difficult. In fact, my daughter started reading it and she said, I can't finish this, Mom. It's too personal.
Wow.
Well, I am very glad that you were able to find a way to share in a way that was relatable and yet still personal. So that is awesome. And the all-important question now is, where can our listeners go to get a copy of your book, Marriage During Deployment?
You can get copies at Amazon.com. You can also go to the publisher's website, Roman.com, and they also sell them there.
Great. Well, Marna, thank you so much for joining us this evening and for sharing your personal experiences with the deployment to help others. I know I sure identified greatly through your experiences and just that you were so candid. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And keep up the good work that you guys are doing. You're doing great things.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, February 26th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Dr. Brian Hargis, who will tell us why he says marriage is a four-letter word. It's going to be another empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on ArmyWifeNetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.